What's shaking? Hey, I'm Rick Jordan. Today, we're going all in. Today, we're talking about TikTok and the bill that has already passed the House. And maybe by the time this airs, because this isn't live right now, this is just recorded a couple days prior, that the Senate has maybe passed the bill themselves or has come up with their own version. But I'm going to talk about what it's going to do, at least what I see it doing, okay? And also clear some air on this whole thing, because everyone's thinking that this is like a TikTok ban bill. And it kind of is, kind of isn't, or that it's going to force the sale. Now, historically speaking, in the former Trump administration, they were talking about forcing the sale of TikTok. And I'll tell you why. You know, obviously, I have a cybersecurity company. I've been all over the news media about this over the last couple of years, especially when this came up with the previous administration. I've talked about it a lot. You know, now it's back up there again. And I'm going to break this down for you real quick today. Okay. TikTok is incredibly popular. You know, and I even stayed off of it for a while because I own a company, majority shareholder, actually in a public company, public cybersecurity company. We just went public. It's called Reach Out Technology. And I always was thinking it's like maybe it's a little bit of a conflict of interest because of all the stigma and paranoia around TikTok, because the parent company of TikTok is called ByteDance, and ByteDance is a Chinese company. Meaning it's in the country of China, just like my company would be a US-based company. So this isn't a company that is owned by China, by the country, or by the government. It is a company, ByteDance is a company within China. Now the problem, and this is where intelligence has come out over the last couple of years, there was even hearings within Congress by our government towards the CEO of ByteDance and TikTok. And the reason being is because of the supposed influence of the Chinese government. Now, if you don't follow foreign relations, I hope that you do. You know, this one's going to be good. I'm going to break it down. It's going to be really simple. So just follow me. Stick with me on this whole episode today, okay? I'm going to break this down. There's the Chinese government, the People's Republic of China, the PRC, that's what it's called, right? But then there's also the controlling party. You know how in America we've got Republicans and Democrats as the two prevailing parties, and then there's some other ones that exist, like the Green Party and all that. You don't hear too much about them because we're really kind of a two-party system. The controlling party in China is the CCP, which is a communist party. Okay, and if you look back to the history of everything, all the way back to pre-Russia, to the Soviet Union, when that existed, you know, that was all communism that generated the Cold War, the nuclear arms race, all of that stuff. Now, whenever, typically speaking, America is always very, very, very much against communism. And there's a lot of good reasons for that, because communism is horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous what it does to the people. It's oppressive. Now, at the same time, I talked about this in a movie I made a few years ago. China is a huge country, huge, like over 1 billion people. You know, out of the 7 or 8 billion people in the world, China has a huge portion of that, huge population in there. Now, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, makes up about 70 million people. Now, obviously, that's still a lot of people. That's a lot of people. However, compared to the entire population of the country, you're really talking about like 7% of the country is actually communist. But still, that's the controlling party of the country. So the government, the entire country is under the control of the CCP. All right. And the biggest thing, and this is one of the reasons why I stayed off this for a while, you know, thinking it might be a conflict of interest, being the CEO of a cybersecurity company, is there's a Chinese law, okay? And the Chinese law pretty much says that, and FBI Director Christopher Wray has pointed to this a number of times, it says that pretty much the Chinese law requires companies to do whatever the government wants them to in terms of sharing information or serving as a tool of the Chinese government. So in essence, the government can just come in and say, give me all the data that you have. Give me everything that you have right now. Yeah, and also, this could be not just on Chinese people, because there are millions of Americans, right? Millions of Americans, like over 100 million from what I read, that are actually on TikTok right now. I might have that number wrong, but I know it's at least in double digits, but there's millions and millions and millions of Americans that use TikTok. And the issue is that that means that there's American data on TikTok servers. So I'm sure you're connecting the dots with me right now, is that the Chinese government, because of this law, can go into ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, and say, give me all the American data that you have. Now, there's a movie that you need to watch. There's a movie that you need to watch called The Great Hack. Okay, you have to go back and watch this thing because it talks about social media persuasion and running ads. It was actually during the Trump campaign, and you know, the whole Cambridge Analytical scandal, all of that stuff. And that's one way to actually sway an election. And this is an election year. This is a presidential election year. You know, so at that point in time, there were different bodies that could actually, like, you could Russia or China or any other country could actually, an adversary of ours could actually go and purchase ads on social media using specific targeting data that you could obtain from platforms like TikTok. And then the more people see things, I mean, think about it. I mean, think like Coke and Pepsi. There's this thing in marketing called awareness campaigns, right? And all it does is it keeps putting the same thing in front of your face, in front of your face, in front of your face, and starts to like program your brain to seeing this stuff. So when you see something, when you walk into, you know, a grocery store or something like that, and you saw 100 ads for Coke on social media, for Coca-Cola, you are more likely to buy, this is psychologically proven, you're more likely to buy something from Coke rather than something from Pepsi. You know, you might end up with Coke Zero rather than a Diet Pepsi because you saw more ads for Coca-Cola. Now, this can work in politics too, because you see more ads, and that's why I'm saying you might want to go back and watch this movie. It's intriguing on how this worked. You know, because it can even be used to like strengthen somebody's position that they've already had. And I remember reviewing, it was the President Trump would put out ads. It was Michigan. It was a big battleground state, right? It would put out ads in Michigan to Trump supporters already. And those ads would be like triumphant ads. Like he was winning. He was the best choice and everything like that. And then they didn't really bother with the Democrats at all. The ones that were registered Democrats had already said, you know what, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. They didn't touch them. What they touched were these persuadables that were undecided. They called them the persuadables. And then they would start to hammer that with negative ads of Joe Biden. And that's what got those persuadables over into the Trump camp. So they use triumphant ads to keep the Trump supporters in the Trump camp and just further entrench their position. This is all psychology, everybody. And then the persuadables, they would hit them with negative ads on Joe Biden to get them to move over to Trump, because negativity is a it's a positive emotion. Isn't that an oxymoron right there? Negativity is a positive emotion, meaning it creates movement in a certain direction. You know, it doesn't cause you to retract. It actually causes you to go out some direction that people want you to go, like the opposite direction. It's very intriguing. So if the Chinese government can get this data, I'm drawing the map for you here that they can actually do some things with marketing and get people to think a certain way. You know, it's the same way why Russia, before they invaded Ukraine, why they hit the banking system and actually on all the ATMs, when people would go to see what's in their account, they would show big fat zeros, you know, the citizens of Ukraine. Yeah, and that was psychological warfare. That's all that it was. Right before they invaded, they caused panic using cyber warfare. And that's another way that's data like this, because it can be used to target specific people and cause mental, which then would cause social unrest amongst a certain group of people. And that's how China could win this stuff, which, by the way, from a staff perspective in cybersecurity, they've got us like 50-1. Chinese has 50 human beings in the cybersecurity, cyber warfare division of the government to our one. Within our cyber warfare division, it's horribly outnumbered. We are horribly outmatched from a manpower perspective. Now, we're smart, we're Americans, of course. I always believe that we're just going to kick ass and we're going to win anyways. But from a staffing perspective, we have a lot of catch up to do. We do. So that's the resources that they're devoted to this. So of course, it freaks out people like the director of the FBI, saying that, oh my God, this is a national security crisis. Absolutely. And I'm with him on that. I am completely with him on that. So this bill that's in Congress right now, it's called, it's HR 7521. It's already passed the House. And as of this point, it's sitting in the Senate. You know, and it's the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. In other words, if an enemy of ours has control of an app that Americans are using, we don't want to allow that, you know, because it's a national security issue. So, and what it does is it prohibits the distribution, the maintenance, or the updating of any app. Now, we've seen stuff like this get pulled from app stores before, right? If it's on your phone already, it actually can stay on your phone and you can probably still access it, right? But the distribution, that's the app stores. That's the Google app, the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, where it would cease to exist. It would be pulled from that immediately if this bill were to be passed. The second thing is the maintenance, which means that there are no updated versions that can go on to those app stores. And then the updates, which means that those updates cannot be pushed out. You know, so it kind of covers all bases in order to prevent Americans from getting to that, right? Which means that if you have the app, no longer can it be updated. You might be still be able to access TikTok for the time being, but as they update their servers and everything, it'll end up breaking that connection. So it's a little bit of a delayed response, but the big thing is nobody new can get access to this app. We've seen that with other apps before. I don't have a specific example for you right now. I know this is a lot of information I'm giving you. You're awesome for staying with me. And I'm giving my opinion here on, you know, for a lot of these things. Right. And this is within 180 days of the bill's enactment, you know, unless a qualified divestiture, meaning a sale of the company. So you have to hear me on this. This bill does not force a sale. It does not force a sale of TikTok. What it does is prevents the distribution of the app and the updating of the app forever, unless there is a sale to an American-controlled company, which, of course, then regulators would have to scrutinize and do their diligence and make sure that that company is okay within the U.S. too and outside of the hands of any control of any foreign adversary. You know, everybody's talking about this as the, you know, it's forcing a sale. This bill is not forcing a sale. It's not at all. You know, and that's probably one of the ways why this might potentially and likely would stand up to constitutional review, because sometimes Congress can pass things and then the Supreme Court says, no, it's unconstitutional. Then it gets, you know, it just gets voided. For this, I think this was a safe measure by Congress because they're saying we're not forcing the sale, but we're forcing or preventing the distribution of this app so nobody else can use it unless it is sold. And I think our government realizes, I hope so anyways, that there's so many millions of users on this. And that's actually the reason why I ended up jumping on. It's like, you know what? The data that I have on there, that's fine. You know, if the CCP can see me, they know who I am, obviously, right? Because just like every other American, they know who you are because they have access to your data. They absolutely do. And the most ridiculous thing is that one time they tried to save face, right? And they moved all their servers for TikTok over to the US, all American data from China over to Chinese servers, over to US based servers, but it didn't matter. And we still had proof of that. And we verified this before the Senate hearings because they did this say, oh, look, guess what? The data is not in China anymore. It's not in China anymore, but it's over in the United States, right where you're at. But then still we proved that the government was still accessing that freaking data in the servers in the US, like connecting to them remotely. Right. Just like many of us do, similar concept. Like if we work from home, if it's remote work, you're connecting back to the servers or to the cloud or wherever, but you can do it from your home. Same thing. Chinese hackers are like, hey, what's up? It doesn't matter. I can still access all the data that I need to. It doesn't matter where the server is located. So it was kind of a ruse. You know, that's why this thing came to pass to where it's like, we need to do something about this. All right. Now, here's something that I'm going to throw out there. TikTok is a big ass company. Lots of users on it. Lots of users. And there's this thing in our country, in the United States, that's like anti-monopoly. I don't know if you've ever looked at that. It means capitalism, which is the business principles that our country is built on. Yay, capitalism smashing. I don't know if you've seen Austin Powers. I sure have, and I love it. But it's the foundation of which business is built on in the United States, meaning anybody has the right to make as much money as they want to. You know, so you can get into business for yourself, which is what I did. You know, now I have a public company and you can do anything you want to do in business. You have the right to make a living in this company, in this country, any way you want to. That's capitalism, right? Any legal way you want to. And the issue here is that if TikTok gets sold, it limits competition. The spirit of capitalism and in this country is to raise the amount of competition, right? This is why you see like a Home Depot and then right across the street is a Menards and a Lowe's. Like there's three of them right there. They're big boys, right? This is why you see so many different restaurants in any community in the whole freaking United States is because it's competition. That's the freedom that we have when it comes to business and capitalism in this country. And it's encouraged by our government because competition does a number of things. Two very specific things that are very big. One, it can keep prices controlled so that they don't go sky high. Because in countries that just have like a monopoly of one company, like if there's one cell phone provider, here we have three big ones and we have a lot of regional ones. Like we've got, you know, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile as the three big ones. But then we've got Mint, we've got Google Fi, we've got Virgin, we've got Red or something. There's a whole bunch of them. I can't even name them all. There's a whole bunch. And it generates good competition to help keep prices in check. Because if it's just one, they can do anything they want because they know that you're their only choice or they're your only choice. That's the crazy thing, right? And that's why competition keeps prices in check. The second thing it does, and it's been proven, is that it drives innovation. Because these companies that compete, it's not just about price. They're like, you know what? We can be better than that. We can have better features. We can make the quality better. We can make it faster. We can make it 4K instead of HD. We can do all these things. And that's why competition is encouraged, because it drives innovation and it continuously pushes whatever industry that competition is in forward in a positive way, in a good way, so that new things are done. New things can be come up with, right? Because if you look at like Apple obviously drives a lot of competition versus Samsung, right? Now, I realize they're not two U.S. companies, but it's big examples, right? If you look at McDonald's, Burger King, Arby's, all these things, I mean, they're always coming out with new types of sandwiches because it's like competition. You know, somebody's like, hey, we got a new special sauce. And people are like, oh my God, that's great. Burger King doesn't have that sauce. But then all of a sudden, Burger King's got the sauce. You know, for real, it's what happens. And it's good because it drives good things in whatever industry, especially in the tech industry, which is where this is from. You know, it's a good thing. The issue that I see, and actually, ironically, this is what former President Trump has talked about too, is if you eliminate TikTok, right, if you completely eliminate it, that actually reduces the amount of competition, because now you really just have Facebook, which you're like, what about Instagram? Well, they're the same freaking company, by the way. I run ads on those, and it's the same platform. You run an ad, it hits both Facebook and Instagram. It's called Meta now, right? Zuckerberg's big, brilliant thing to change the company name from Facebook to Meta. But Meta has both Facebook and Instagram. It's the same thing. So it's really just Meta and then X. Those are really the only two big ones that exist. You've got Trump's Truth Social, which is not doing so hot financially. You know, I don't know if it'll stick around, who knows? But those are really the only choices that you have. And TikTok has actually driven a lot of innovation. Look at Reels on Instagram, okay? Remember when Reels came out? The reason why Reels happened on Instagram is because of TikTok. That's why they took place. They used to just be video posts, but now they're Reels and it matches the functionality. And you see these guys like feeding off of each other to continue to grow the quality and the features and the offerings of all these platforms. I wish there was four more of them. I do, because then we'd see some really cool stuff happening. We would see some really cool stuff happening. Though there's a lot of what ifs when it comes to this. And I'll end this last bit with a bit of a story here, okay? Because with the rise of influencers, there's a lot of people that are making good money on these platforms now. They're using these platforms to get the word out. You know, it's like my cousins have a hot sauce company that's doing amazing. They were just at the governor's mansion in Illinois, you know, with an award. They won SBA awards. They're doing amazing stuff with this hot sauce and it's taking off. They keep growing the company. And a big reason for the success and their growth has been social media, getting the word out there about it. You know, so imagine if TikTok went away. I have another friend, you can go follow her. She's awesome. Emily Ford, you know, on Instagram, it's Emily, ITS Emily. Something happened, some kind of technical glitch, and her profile was just gone for like the last 2 weeks. Okay. It just came back like yesterday, I think. You know, and I saw him like, yay, you go, girl, you got it back. Who knows why? There wasn't any reason to disclose why. It just like disappeared as if it never existed. And this was right in the middle of a book launch for her and a challenge launch. I think it was a book launch, but it was a couple of different launches. And she had to resort to other means, like an email list, right? And going back to the 90s, right? She still got it done successfully, but probably not as successfully as it would have been if she had the power of her social media account on Instagram. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal if something like TikTok goes away completely. Which is why that if it does, I hope there's some kind of sale to an American-based company and it can stick around specifically for the capitalism purpose of competition to continue innovation. That's what I hope. Okay, and at the same time, I also want the frickin' Chinese government's hands removed out of it. And you're probably going to watch a clip of about this show on TikTok too. And that's awesome. You know, it's ironic, right? Because I'm there now. It's very cool. There's purposes for these platforms, and I'd hate to see people like my cousin have something bad happen to their business, hit their business income, because TikTok just goes away, you know, like overnight and doesn't have any possibility of coming back. Or like what happened to my friend Emily, to where this took place and it probably hindered the sales of her challenge and this new launch that she was doing. You know, it's horrible that way. There's power in social media, and they're great platforms to be able to use. There's a lot of negativity too, with people staying on there for hours and hours and endless scrolling and all that. But there's good reason for it as well. I mean, I can't imagine a world before Facebook and before Instagram and all that. And I see value in it. You know, same with Twitter, same with X. I'll call it X. You know, everybody still calls it Twitter, whatever. But whatever happens with this bill, I hope it supports the principles that this country was founded on, which is continuing to develop competition amongst everybody. So I hope they can figure that part out and at the same time protect the security of our country, because to me that is absolutely the most important over all of this. If something like TikTok would allow some kind of, you know, literal warfare from China, whether it's ground warfare, artillery, nuclear, whatever, by all means, I would choose for this just to go away, for TikTok to go away. That would be my first priority. But if we can have the security in place, get the Chinese government's hands out of it completely to where that's not that threat, and also promote competition and good old-fashioned American capitalism with it, let's do it.